In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I want to take you back to the last line of the psalm that we had for this morning. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them what they craved. Craving is something that we all experience in our lives. It's quite a powerful feeling. I'm sure you can all identify with something that you crave at various points in the day or during the week. For me, it's craving a cup of tea and a sweet biscuit in the afternoon. It seems to give me some vitality, and if I don't get it, I become very cranky. Many people crave chocolate. Many people crave all sorts of things. Mostly it's to do with sugar and fatness and all the things that aren't good for us. And there's something in it that draws us back to it, that we want it to feed us because it makes us feel good. But a lot of this is sort of frivolous craving, I guess. I think too of the craving of people that are really seeking the basic needs of life. The need for food and for clean water and for shelter and for clothes and maybe for rest, peace. I think of the people in Flint, Michigan that all of a sudden discovered that their water supply was contaminated with lead and they had to change to having bottled water, and how they must have craved to have fresh, clean water that we take for granted coming out of their faucets. And you think of people that are in Africa in the drought-restricted areas, how they must crave just to have a basic meal. But again, we mostly take for granted. Craving is such a strong emotion. It's something that we need to satisfy, otherwise we almost get distracted from everything else. The Israelites were craving food. They were so craving food after they had made their way into the desert in the early days of their Exodus journey. They were so craving food that they wished that they were back in slavery in Egypt, where they had food, where they had water, and where they had shelter. That even though they were enslaved in Egypt, they had some certainty that they would eat and they would drink. And of course, it was the Egyptians that held them in slavery that wanted them to eat and drink and be strong so they could continue to work for them, to make the bricks, to build the cities. For if they had a sick workforce, they wouldn't have achieved anything. But as the Egyptians journeyed through the Red Sea and witnessed what God had done for them in trapping the Egyptians within the sea, that the Israelites escaped and moved into the desert led by Moses and Aaron. They needed the basic necessities. They craved water and they craved food. And in the part of Exodus it's just before this reading, we hear of the story of when they craved water and the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. And they cried out to God and God sweetened the water for them so they could drink it. And then in our reading this morning, we hear them crying out for food. They were so desperate, as I said, they wanted to go back to slavery if they couldn't eat. And God heard them. And God appeared to them in the cloud, in the wilderness, and provided for them and told Moses, I will provide for them. And God provided the quails for the evening meal. They fell out of the sky, plump, for them to eat. And they provided the white, flaky substance which appeared on the grass or on the ground in the morning. In the morning, it looked like morning dew. And they were able to collect it together and make bread out of it. And out of those two things, they were able to nourish themselves and to start their journey toward the promised land. But as we know, that really didn't satisfy them. As we read through Exodus later on, we know that they still were unsatisfied. They craved all sorts of things. And when Moses went up the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, they built an idol because they craved something to focus on. They couldn't believe that he was going to come back. So they were never freed from that power of craving something. As I said, it's such a powerful force in our lives. And as we read in the gospel reading this morning, or as we heard me read the gospel reading this morning, we hear of another similar story about bread. Here the people that had gathered around Jesus the night before when he had fed them, 5,000 or more of them, he had fed them from 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And he'd managed to satisfy them because he took pity on them that night, that they had come to see him, to witness healing, to be healed, and that they weren't able to be fed. But the next morning when they woke up and found that Jesus had left, they pursued him, they chased after him, they wanted to be with him. But as Jesus said, it wasn't because they were looking for him per se. They were looking for someone to feed them, someone to miraculously get the bread and the fish so that they no longer needed to toil to get their sustenance, to stop their cravings. In our modern life, as I said, we crave all sorts of things, and I'm sure that a lot of the retail industry, the advertising industry, plays into our cravings. We are tempted so many times to buy things, to buy all sorts of things we don't need. And we are, through advertising, enticed. We are, you know, if we're craving something because we see it in front of us. If it wasn't there, we probably wouldn't crave it. We wouldn't know that we were missing out on something, but when it's there in front of us, we really want to get it. And this buffets our life. We move backwards and forwards because we're always falling to this feeling that we have. But Jesus points out to those that are around him asking him for food. He's saying to them, food is one thing, but I have something else for you that you need to have a similar sort of craving for. I need you to believe in me. Believe that I was sent from the Heavenly Father to be the food that will sustain you forever. And they ask him, what is it that we must do to perform the works of God? And Jesus says simply, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who was sent. Quite a simple statement from Jesus, but yet so very profound and life-changing. Believe in him who was sent. When we do believe in Jesus and we take Jesus as our Lord, we are able to overcome this sense of buffering and this sense of directionless that we have in our lives. The food that Jesus feeds us comes to us in the scriptures. It comes to us in the Eucharist that we will participate in shortly. We are fed spiritually. But sometimes we don't get a sense that in our community there is such a craving for a spiritual life. It would be great if we had a craving for spiritual life like we have a craving for sugar or we have a craving for coffee. Caffeine, those things that feed our bodies. We have to feed our soul as well. And we need to have that similar craving. And Jesus is saying to us, all we need to do to have that is to just believe. Paul Tillich was a theologian from the 20th century. He taught at Union Seminary in New York City and then went up to Harvard. He wrote a book which is sort of a staple in the, you know, as we studied in seminary, called The Courage to Be. And in the book, which is quite a dense theological book, he talks about what it is to have courage and what is courage. And he also talks about fear and anxiety and what it is to be fearful and what it is to have anxiety. And when he talks about anxiety, he talks about what so many people feel about what is the meaning of life? What is it that we're here for? What is it that's important to us? When I was a hospital chaplain at Columbia Medical Center, I would often hear this from people who were desperately sick. People who were struggling with end-of-life issues, and certainly their families, trying to make sense of what it was that they were experiencing. We have an anxiety about what it all means. But in accepting Jesus and saying yes and believing in him, we need to have courage. We need to have courage just to step into that position. And it's really only it's courage to say yes. One of the smallest words in our language, but again, saying yes to God is a life-changing statement. The courage to be. Tillich said something, he said this, that you are accepted. Accepted by someone greater than him. Accepted by a name that we do not know. We aren't to ask, or we aren't to try and seek answers now. Just to accept simply the fact that we are accepted, that we are included. And in that experience is the grace of God. So do we have the courage to say yes? Do we have the courage to step out of our cravings, our anxieties, our worries, all those things that Paul says buffets us in the world, and say yes and believe? It'll be life-changing. And as the body of Christ, as we gathered here this morning, the body of Christ, we are the feeders of others. We are fed ourselves, but we go out into the world as Christ went to those people on the mountain, and we feed them. When we welcome people in, we feed them. When we invite people to just talk and say hello, we feed them. And as Christians, we are feeding them in the name of Jesus. So what sort of life do you want? What sort of life do you want for your family? Do you want them to have a life that is buffeted by the winds of the world? Or to have a life that's grounded in Jesus Christ, who gives us everything we need if we just say yes and know we are accepted? Everything else will flow from that. It's certainly the life I want, and I wish it for you as well. Amen.